She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
You're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. We're changing up the show again because it's my show. And just remember, we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. We hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I wanted to remind you that this show is, in fact, sponsored by the Fairfax Companies, one of Mrs. Green's big supporters, and hope you really, really did have a happy Turkey Day and that you didn't overeat, and that if you did, you're walking it off, but not during the show unless you're listening to me on your iPhone or your Droid. So we are going to have a great show today. As usual, we have Terry D., who is absolutely and positively one of my favorite people on the planet and a regular on Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, and our two in-studio guests, which we are going to need 2 hours to cover without a doubt, but we only have an hour, are Carrie Burns, who's the vice president, and Lindsay Bruno, public relations lead from the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. And trust me when I say, not only is this the ultimate in recycling because they recycle animals, but the background that Carrie is going to share with us from her, what all the things she's done, and we're going to learn more about the Humane Society, things that they do that you probably don't know. I know that I didn't. It's going to be a great show, and time's going to fly because we're having fun. Terry D. from Habitat for Humanity's Habistor, are you there?
Gina, am I truly a regular? I've never been regular in my life.
Okay, yeah, let's hear it. There's Terry D. for the regular. Yes, you are, and I was telling them off air that you're one of my best friends. I love what you do. I was talking about you today at lunch, so tell me what you're calling in about. Great story today for Habitat for Humanity's Habistor.
Well, how about the Green Living Fair last week?
Oh, my gosh.
Success or what? I was stunned. I want to thank everybody that participated and also everyone who came. There was just so many people who said that it was the first time they'd been to the Habistar, and the reason why they came was because they wanted to learn more things from the Green Living Fair, and it was just perfect.
And we got so much great publicity, and the book exchange went great, and I got teased a lot by you and Robin about calling it Mrs. Green's Living Fair. It wasn't. It was the Green Living Fair, sponsored by the Habistar, and Robin's wonderful Pima County. They helped so much this year. Mrs. Green's World, the time flew, and it was a great message to the community. But I actually have a question for you.
Okay.
With Christmas coming up just around the corner, and it is Christmas. It's a big, huge shopping event. Couldn't people really find treasures at the Habistar? I don't think people think of that for Christmas shopping, but I so would now. Seriously.
Well, I think you could. You know, we do have a lot of like pottery things and glass things. But what's really interesting is that after Christmas, we'll receive about 10 pallets of Christmas decorations and Christmas wrapping paper that wasn't used and things like that. And we save it all year, and then we resell it again at the end of the year. So imagine right after Halloween, we put out 10 tables of Christmas stuff, you know, lights and ornaments and knickknacks and things like that. We have one table left.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? My friend Leda that was helping out at the Green Living Fair, she bought Christmas bulbs, beautiful green Christmas bulbs, a whole new package that was marked $10.99, and she bought it for $1.
Yeah.
So she was rocking it. She was happy.
So we do get a lot of stuff. Trees, we had like 15 trees. We don't have any anymore now. And one of the things that we're going to be doing right at the 1st of December is on the Monday after Thanksgiving, the entire Habitat staff is coming to the Habitat store to decorate 5 Christmas trees.
Oh, I love that.
They're Christmas trees from last year that people had donated to
us. Right.
Each department at Habitat is going to decorate it, and we're going to have buckets in front of each tree, and all the customers that come in can pick a ticket and put it in the bucket of the tree that they think is the best tree. And then we're having our holiday party on the 2nd of December, and the winner will be chosen. and they probably get a gift certificate to the Habit Store. And then we're gonna sell the trees, or even, you know, if somebody asks me, I might even donate a tree to somebody, you know, another nonprofit or something like that, of those five trees. So come in and vote between Thanksgiving and December 2nd. And then the trees will be out in the public there.
Well, that is really perfect. And I will tell you this, you know, Lindsay, I don't know if you heard me say that Lindsay Bruno is on the show today, public relations lead from Humane Society. And guess what? She wants to plan an event with you for something with the animals at the Habit Store. So we got to put that.
Absolutely do it.
Wouldn't that be so
absolutely
fun? Okay, we'll do it. We'll make it happen.
When I was at Home Depot, we worked together with Humane Society a lot. As a matter of fact, I have a cat in my house right now that I adopted from the parking lot of Home Depot 8-9 years ago from the Humane Society when they had the tail wagging van there.
Well, oh my gosh, I love it. So we have to plan that for 2012. We'll do something really fun, definitely not in Earth Month, okay? We'll do it in one of those slow months. Yeah, right, nothing in April. I'm already saying, no, I can't do anything else in April. But we'll do something, and I think it'd be fun, and Mrs. Green's World will put 150% into that effort. So
Excellent. How
do people get a hold of you and tell us where you're located and the area code and phone number?
Correct. 520-889-7200. My own hotline, finally.
I love it.
I have my own hotline, and it's habitattucson.org. And we're at 935 West Grant, which is Grant and I-10. It's a great store. It's 20,000 square feet. It's a treasure hunt every day.
It is a treasure hunt every day. It really is.
A great, you know, the community gives to us all the time, and they come in and purchase from us all the time. And I think it's a great public service for the community, because all the money generated at the store goes to build Habitat for Humanity houses right in Tucson, Arizona.
And how many you're going to build this year? It blew me away.
You know, we're almost over. Well, you know, I'm going to say we're at 22 or something this year. Probably.
Amazing. Like, amazing. Yeah. Absolutely love
so
it. And guess
excited.
What? I love you too. So I'm
you
saying
too.
That right in the air, and Mr. Green is listening. So
thanks for last weekend. It was totally good. I hope that Steven Spielberg calls you after your guest appearance on the KGUN 9 News.
I think that was one of the meanest things you ever did to me. So we're going to hang up on you now.
Okay. Say hi to the gang at the Humane Society. Love those guys. Always support them.
Okay, and we'll plan some kind of fun event. Thanks for calling, and thanks for your support of Mrs. Green's World. Is he like a hoot? Seriously, I love him, really and truly. So we'll do something with the Humane Society.
That's fabulous.
I know. So let's talk about, now we're going to make it all about Carrie, because I have to share with our listeners some of your incredible background. Carrie Burns is relatively new to the Tucson community. She has been doing things on a national scale that I think we all really want to hear about. With, you were at the BP oil spill, you're involved in national rescues, you were sharing some stories about when we see only on TV. We have not had any floods here where somebody's on the top of their roof with their pets, because we don't have much flooding here. It's been a long, long time since we had that. Once in 36 years, I did get to see that, but they weren't on the roofs of their houses. So tell us a little bit about your background, and then of course ultimately I'm going to say, why are you in Tucson?
The ultimate question. Yes, I've been doing disaster work for probably a good 10 years, and it actually started in 2002 with the Arizona wildfires, the Rodeo Teduscai fires.
Oh my gosh.
Up in northern Arizona, which was amazing. We probably rescued close to 600 animals.
Oh.
Almost all of them were returned back to their home after the fires, and that was weeks and weeks of long, hard days in the fire and the heat.
And it was dogs and cats and horses?
Dogs, cats, horses, chickens, you name it, whatever came. As a matter of fact, we had one male deer. Actually, it was a male elk, 3 months old. His name was Slurry, because he was saved because the slurry, the red stuff that's dropped from the plane.
Yes.
He just stood there and was saved by the hot shots, that the guys that work on the fire line that saved him. So we even had a little male elk, and I had never had one of those.
I can't believe that's where it started. You know, we lost our cabin in this last fire, in the Wallow fire. And one of the things that I said to my husband is, will the animals have time to get out? And he said, the way those forest fires travel with the winds, sometimes the little ones can't run fast enough.
Yes.
They
yeah.
don't all get out. And I'm thinking,
right.
They've got to smell it. They've got to know what's coming. And I said, I did watch Bambi, but it's true.
Don't watch Bambi.
It's like, oh, it was so sad. But So I really get it. That's amazing. So you started there.
Basically started there.
Got you excited.
Got me excited. I was like, wow, this is an adrenaline rush, you know, and it's long, hard work, and you have to be trained. It's not something someone can just run in and go, hi, I'm here to help, and not have any training, because safety first. And then with the people, it's always, it can never happen to me syndrome.
I know.
Like, you never expected your house probably to burn.
Even when the fire was happening, we knew ours was going to be fine.
Yeah. But you just, still, you never know until the last minute. Right. Yes, I've done several different hurricanes in Florida. I think I lived there one summer, like in 2004, when they had 4 or 5 hurricanes coming back to back. Hurricane Katrina, Rita, and Wilma, which is kind of all one big word to me, because I did all 3 hurricanes when they hit.
Unbelievable.
We were down there.
And what did you do?
I was actually out on the ground with the rescue teams in our whatever vehicles we had, whether it be boats. We had some helicopters to go in and actually rescue the animals that were in the houses left behind. Thankfully, after Katrina, they changed the laws, and it says every state will have something, some sort of plan written that says, what are you going to do with the animals in a disaster? Some states have great plans. It goes, yeah, you know, it's 20, 30, 40, 500 pages long. Other, you know, states, it's kind of like, yeah, we'll figure it out when we get there. But
how does
unfortunately,
does Arizona have anything worthwhile? It's okay.
I'm gonna go right now.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
okay. It's really
the thing is with disasters, there's always something else to work on.
Right,
you can always
right,
improve,
right.
And there's always a disaster within a disaster. You can never truly have that perfect plan, but there are some plans in place in Arizona, which I'm very proud of. Even recently, I've worked with the Red Cross locally, and they started doing co-location shelters.
Oh, my gosh.
So let's say you have to leave here,
right.
And you've got to take your pets and stay in a, you know, housing area or in a gym somewhere. We've worked with the Red Cross that you can actually bring your animal with you, and we will help. So you can still care for your animal, but we will help in the housing process of them.
Which I would think so helps with the disastrous, the emotions and all of that, to be further separated from your pet and not know. People are attached to their pets, and to be able to know that that's happening, I had no idea.
Yeah.
So it's partnering with another nonprofit.
Exactly.
And I love that.
Exactly.
I just really do love that.
Pets are part of the family. And if your family's displaced, you're lost. And emotionally, you're a wreck because it's a disaster, first off. But second, to not know, oh my gosh, what happened to Fluffy or what happened to, you know, Billy? It just, you know, your dog, or your cat, it is an emotional wreck. But to be able to even have them close to you, to know that they're safe, to be able to pet them for a few minutes.
It's comforting for you.
Oh
my gosh.
It's a completeness.
Yeah, it is.
And for us as rescuers, to be able to see that, that's our end mission. Our end goal is just to be able to go, I'm so glad I could reunite you with your animal.
And do people step up in these things? They happen so quickly, and there's so much that really does need to be in place. Do people step up? Like, then it becomes a whole other thing of feeding them and watering them and walking them and all that. Is that a whole area that you guys help with?
Correct. I used to be a trainer, so I used to train for field rescue, but I also used to train in the temporary sheltering piece of it. So yes, that's a whole different component. You have to set them up. You have to, you know, feed, water,
there's
walk,
hygiene, all of that. Yep.
The whole thing. You got to have your veterinarians there helping out. It is a community process that comes
response.
Together for the animals, and it's just amazing what happens.
And it's not talked about a lot in the press. I mean, now that you're saying it, it's like, I'm sure if you have a pet, you're thinking about it, and you do sometimes see the person on the roof with their dog in their hand, or they've gone back into their home to get their pets, and maybe at the loss risk of losing their own life. So you just, that's not a lot of the after story. So it's great to bring that to light for us, for all of our listeners, and for me.
You're welcome. Yeah, I used to travel and do some work with Animal Planet, and the parents would hate me because I would do this talk to the kids and say, okay, listen, when you go to school in the morning, what do you pack, your bags and your lunches? And yes, they say, what kind of emergency pack do you have for your animals waiting by the door in case you have to leave with
something
your animals?
Happens.
And so the kids would go home and say, Mom, Dad, I have to do this. I have to do this. And the parents are like, really? Really?
You know, we got to take care of disaster relief for the pets.
Yeah, it's all about educating, especially the kids. And,
even
from something like that in a home to one of the most recent things I was involved with was the BP oil spill. You know, to see all the birds and the manatees, the different animals we encountered that were just covered in oil, and wondering the sea turtles. We watched baby sea turtles being hatched and had to transplant them over into Cape Canaveral, Florida. And we were involved in so many aspects of that. And
how long were you there?
I was down there close to 4 weeks.
Really a long time. And what do they do? I always wanted to know, so I'm thrilled to be able to ask this. Like, it's Inside Edition for disaster relief. Sorry. But what do they do with you, all the people? It takes massive people power. Do they set up tents? Do they bring in, you know, porta potties? All those human elements for dealing with massive people numbers in a disaster area already. So what's the response plan for that? You have to sleep in a tent?
That's a good question, because there are different disasters require different types of setting for sleeping and eating and whatnot.
Right.
There are times that we have the Red Cross there and they're feeding us, you know, we're different groups. There are times that we're sleeping in tents. We were lucky enough with the BP oil spill to be able to stay in hotels.
Did they open them up to rescue people?
They
and
did.
Had BP
they
pay
did.
For it? That would have been good.
Well, BP and the government, I believe, did kind of a combination and paid for it. So yes, we didn't have to put anything out of our pockets from a nonprofit side of things, which was nice. But I mean, I've slept in cars and, you know, on top of our trucks that we've had and everything else. So it just depends on where you are.
And after being there for a month, which is really a significant amount of time, did you feel that there was hope? That it's just so, you know, to me personally, it was so beyond devastating and beyond anything it was irreparable damage, and then people go on and forget. But having been there for a month, was there enough people power, and is there still enough ongoing commitment to be helping with some of the areas that are still so harshly affected?
You know, it was amazing for all the different teams that came together from various aspects of disaster.
Right.
And to know that, yes, there was help there, and there are still folks down there. And I'll tell you, one of my greatest experiences down there was when we were able to go in and rescue some of the birds. They were checked by the veterinarians, and we actually put them on a military plane. They were flown to Texas, and there's nothing better than to watch their little wings spread out and to fly over the water. And you know what you've been there for.
You saved
You've
them.
Done that. Even if you've rescued one, it means the world. So it's
and do you and literally, everybody, like they show on commercials, you pick them up and you have to wash them and get the oil off?
Absolutely. There was an entire washing bin process that went through. And, you know, we were all covered in oil and dirt and bird poop.
Right.
Know,
we can say
else.
Bird poop on Mrs. Green's World all day long.
you could probably recycle that too, I'm sure. But it was just, you know, the health issues of the bird, we made sure they were very healthy. You know, there were some that did not make it.
And I'm
very thankful that the veterinarians were there, you know, in the groups to take care of them in the humane fashion that they did.
Right. It's just a story that just, it makes headline news it made it for quite a while. And then life goes on. And unfortunately, sometimes there's another disaster that everybody starts following. But I know that there are still people from national organizations on the ground there, and they'll be there for years to come. I mean, it's pretty awesome what happens. The response of the American heart never ceases to amaze me. Really.
Right, exactly.
Because there's all that harshness, but then there's the good that comes out in people, you know, in the millions. So it's nice to see the human side of that too.
Yes.
Okay, Miss Lindsay, public relations lead. We've got to talk a little bit about that so they know you're here. You're just
I've just been listening to Carrie and her fascinating stories.
Couldn't we just listen to
her? I was
going to
ask
anymore?
Her if she could tell her turtle story.
Yeah,
do you know
tell
which one I'm talking
your turtle
about?
Story.
The little boy.
Oh, the turtle story with the little boy in
yes,
the fire.
Yes, I think it's adorable.
Oh, yes, tell us.
This is one of my favorite little stories, only because, of course, it involves kids too. But I was doing a wildfire rescue. And we had taken the crew out, and they said we had to fill up our car at the gas station. Don't worry, we weren't near the fire with the gas station. Anyways, so as I'm standing there in my uniform and I have animal rescue on the back of my shirt, I get this tug on my shirt.
Oh.
I am hot. I am tired. And have you ever been that way and you just want to turn around
and
go,
tugs
what?
On your shirt?
You know, so I turn around. I'm ready to say, what? And I realize it's this like 7-year-old boy. And I look at him and I say, may I help you? And he goes, do you rescue the animals? And I said, yes. And he said, I left my turtle in my house.
Oh.
And I thought in my head, I've been rescuing cats, dogs, everything else. And now you want me to get a turtle? So anyways, we went. They didn't know if their house was, you know, there or not.
Right.
Went back into the house, grabbed the turtle, came back that night. And there was nothing better than to see a 7-year-old boy light up, say, here's your turtle. But to tell the parents, By the way, your house is still standing, and it's the only one standing on the street.
Oh, my gosh. That is a great story. That is really great. Too bad there wasn't a YouTube video of that.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
It could live in perpetuity, but now it will be on a podcast for Mrs. Green's World. Okay, if you've just tuned in, you've missed a lot of really good stuff. We will have a podcast up, but you're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. This show is sponsored by the Fairfax Companies. We have lots of great more information coming from Carrie Burns, who's the vice president, and Lindsay Bruno, the public relations lead from the Humane Society of Arizona. We're going to talk about things, more things of what you do and how to help and why we don't want that little doggy in the window for Christmas. So please stay here with me, Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. We will be right back in a jiffy.
Professor Joel Cuello isn't just growing algae in his U of A lab. He's growing hope for clean, renewable energy. Because algae offers one of the brightest alternatives to fossil fuels. It takes CO2 out of the air and gives back pure oxygen. It's non-toxic and yields amazing power. Best of all, a new UA technology makes growing it more affordable and efficient than ever. The University of Arizona, a sustainable partner in Arizona's future.
Hi, I'm Abbott Taylor. With over 35 years creating jewelry in Tucson, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Please come in and see some of the thousands of designs we have created, or come in and have us design something original just for you. Whether you're looking for a simple and stylish graduation gift, your engagement ring, or a breathtaking jewelry piece to celebrate an important birthday or anniversary, you can't beat our competitive diamond pricing. With 100% trade-up guaranteed, set in an Abbott Taylor jewelry design, always using earth-friendly recycled gold. Abbott Taylor Jewelers, exquisite jewelry designs and exceptional diamond deals created right here in Tucson for over 35 years. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
Fairfax Companies is Tucson's green waste disposal solution. Contractors, landscapers, or do-it-yourselfers, come see us. We recycle almost all types of construction and landscape waste. Eastside Speedway and Prudence, Northwest I-9-I-10, Southeast Drexel and Houghton. The Fairfax Companies is the leader in the business of sustainability. We're open to the public and cost less than other landfills. Call 290-9313, 290-9313, or visit us online at thefairfaxcompanies.com.
Hi, this is Mrs. Green from Mrs. Green's World. I don't know about you, but it's pretty obvious gas prices are soaring. I'm thrilled to be getting 45 miles per gallon in town with my Honda Insight. Now is the perfect time to visit Chapman Tucson and check out the many fuel-efficient vehicles they have on their lots right now in every price range for every budget. Visit them at 4600 East 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan and tell them Mrs. Green sent you. Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. Love that lead-in. The boys are back in town, but it's the women who are here now. This is Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. We're giving you lots to think about today. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. And thank you, Carrie Burns, Vice President, and Lindsay Bruno, Public Relations Lead from the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. And one of the things that cracks me up, even about my own show, and it is me, is that we really need to talk about the Humane Society now. I wanted to hear about your background. It's my show, and I think people are really interested in the compelling stories that you've gotten to be a part of. So let's talk about the Humane Society a little bit. There's so much more to what you do than have cute kittens and cute puppies. And, you know, you talk about the ultimate rescue mission and people buy pets and dispose of them and maybe fall upon hard times, but let's talk about the scope a little bit of the kinds of services you do, because it's huge, and I don't think everybody knows it. You want to field that one a little bit, Lindsay?
Well, sure. I think people think of Humane Society and think of adoptions, and that's the only part of the puzzle. But we also have other pieces in terms of we take animals in owner relinquishment. We have lost and found. Other services also, but the other part of that is spay and neuter, which is very important.
Huge.
In ending the cycle of pet overpopulation. And so there's constantly tons of messages that we always want to get out there. But really, just the name itself is very deceiving because there's so many services that we offer: community outreach, prevention of animal cruelty, education to children about animal welfare. So I could go on and on about all our services.
I know. And I wanted to ask you what is the staffing? I know you have a really big board, and I think I have a lot of friends on it because they always want, they pet lovers. I've got, you know, just rabid pet lovers. Isn't that a good way to put it? But how are you staffed? How many staff do you have? And what, you have a huge contingent of volunteers.
Well, we have over 100 employees.
Right.
And
wow.
The volunteers are,
I mean,
yes,
really, wow.
And we're growing, and we've grown since Carrie has been with us and since I've been there for only a short amount of
That's
time.
That's because of her national prominence that I now know about.
Well, Carrie's an asset, absolutely,
totally.
And she's brought to us has just furthered our cause and our mission. But our volunteers, we have about 500 active volunteers, and without their support, we would not be able
you
to provide the services. We would not be able to care for the over 10,000 animals we do every year. And so it's just tremendous effort with the community and their support.
And do you feel like I think that you get a lot of really good support and exposure from the media. It's one of those areas where you see things, it makes everybody's heart feel good. Do you feel like the Tucson community in Southern Arizona supports you in your campaigns and, you know, getting the word out to adopt this cute little puppy?
Absolutely. I mean, people love kids and pets. So in a way, that makes my job easier.
Right,
it's not
right,
a real
right.
hard sell.
Right.
But it is competition in terms of other nonprofit organizations. There's so many in Southern Arizona. But we are grateful to people for their dedication and their support, whatever that may be in terms of volunteerism, donor support, attending our events. There's so many different ways. But yes, it's just such a generous community to us, and we are a nonprofit, so we receive no government funding, and we are also separate from Pima Animal Care Center and the national organization, and so the community support is just vital to our survival.
So you don't get funding from the National Humane Society of the United States, which I didn't even know existed until you and I had lunch. I'm like, why would there even be that? But I'm sure there are. There are national campaigns, but to me, it's like, think globally, act locally, and you're helping us right here in the community. This is part of the scope of what you do. I think it's really interesting that you have kind of little doggy boutiques in shopping malls. Was that an idea that was born here? Are other humane societies doing it? And how's it going? You go to La Encantada and it's right there by, you know, Louis Vuitton or something. It's great.
Well, it's excellent. We're part of that trend, and people have shifted their mindset from going to a pet store to going to a store where they have animals from an animal shelter. And we were fortunate enough that the management company that owns La Encantada, that shopping center, has now announced they're not going to renew the leases of companies and pet stores that do not provide animals, rescue animals. And we were thrilled with that announcement. We're hoping that awesome. That other companies will move forward with that agenda. But it's just those stores have been such a benefit to us because sometimes people are intimidated to go into a shelter environment
it's
and look
really
for a pet.
Sad.
And it's
sad. I mean, if you have someone like my niece who would take home 30 dogs, I mean, I'm not kidding. My niece Tara would probably have 30 dogs. They have cats and dogs, and I love to go to their house. I love animals in their house, and they it's sad to go there and have to pick and not do it. It's a very different psychological mindset, but you still can have the same impact by taking that dog or cat home. Agreed?
Exactly. So many people say, I don't know how you guys do what you do.
I don't
could not
either.
Do your job. And we have that's why we have the most wonderful staff and volunteers, you know, to help us out. But with Park Place Mall, having adoptions in there.
Right.
And like you mentioned,
La Encantada, right.
And every now and then we do some adoptions at our thrift store. It really allows the community to go, oh, you'll come to us in other places, and we're happy to do
that. I think that's what we should do with the Habba store. Yep. I think Terry D would be all over that. And the traffic that he gets there on a Saturday, even if it was just to raise awareness, if we can do that, we have to do that in the year to come. Yes. I think that sounds like a really fun thing for
Absolutely.
Mrs. Green to get on top of. Yes. I love it. I love it. So you have the puppy boutiques, as I call them, but they're cats and dogs, and they have really cute things to buy for dogs. It's fun. I mean, it's adorable. So that's working. What other kinds of services do you provide? Critical services that I don't want to gloss over, like spay and neutering, like vaccinations. And do people, is it a sliding fee scale? Can people pay, or are there free services? How do you support the magnitude and scope of all of those things?
Well, with the spay and neuter, for instance, we actually are very lucky to have 4 veterinarians on staff.
Awesome.
And a lovely, the rest of our staff that help out up there at the clinic. We do around 12,000 surgeries a year.
Oh,
now,
my
that's
gosh.
More than just spay and
right.
neuter. That's
right,
sometimes
right.
a hit by car and all those types of things. But most of our surgeries are done for our in-house animals, meaning those that are dropped off at the shelter for whatever reason
right.
people, bring their animals in. We also have vaccination clinics that we do 2 times or 3 times a week. And it's low-cost vaccination clinics. Yeah, so people can come and get their dogs vaccinated at a much lower cost than what they would at a veterinarian. Now, we want to partner with and work with every veterinarian, so we don't want to take business away.
Right,
These are
right,
usually
right.
people that can't afford or have never seen a vet.
Right.
but need to have their vaccinations and get their license. So that's usually who we work with. We also do microchipping.
Oh, my gosh. So if somebody
in a disaster, let me tell you how wonderful a microchip is.
Are lots of people coming in for that?
The best part about that is they are starting to finally come in and get their animals microchipped.
And where do you put it? Is it like getting their ear pierced?
Well, yeah, not really.
Okay, do we need to go into that on Mrs. Green's World?
Actually, it's like a little piece
implant.
Of rice. Yeah,
okay.
it's a little
okay.
implant. And you basically pick up the skin between their shoulder blades and pop it in. Takes a second. Usually that's no big deal. But that no big deal could be a huge deal to the owner who has just lost their pet. And we scan it and it goes beep. Oh, you belong to.
So it's like a little GPS?
Mm-hmm. Well, not GPS. It won't track them, but it gives
but
us the information of the person who owns that animal.
I had no idea that's how it worked.
So
I love it.
When we can call somebody and say, we have your animal down here at the shelter, usually you don't hear much except for a click and
they're running out
minutes.
The door crying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yes. I mean, that's
so
amazing.
It's a beautiful thing.
And I remember the story of the gentleman that came in and got a call from us and said that, told him that we had his cat who had disappeared 6 months before that.
Right.
And he had 2 little daughters. They were so distraught. They looked for this cat. And apparently he was on top of a roof miles and miles away from their house. And someone brought him in and he was microchipped.
Oh my gosh.
It was fabulous.
Can
it was a great
imagine?
Story.
It is like a big, huge
He was so
present.
Surprised.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
We've
that's
had him
really
from
awesome.
Other states too. We're like, how'd you get here? Did you hitchhike? I don't know. But
they make movies about that.
Exactly.
I know. That's really great. So spay, neutering, microchipping, vaccinations and operations for car. You don't think about things like that.
Different things, that we need to do surgeries for. And we do offer different spays and neuters and surgeries to the low income. The folks that can't afford to have the surgeries done, they can call us and we have some funding pots that will assist, paying for that. But, any other types of surgeries, we have great veterinarians in our community. We encourage people to build that relationship because animal health is very important. And for the most time, we're going to outlive them. And small things like obesity and bad teeth in animals can end their lives faster than some other diseases that
right.
they find.
I even heard something the other day that if you have your teeth cleaned regularly as a human being, it lowers your chance of heart disease. I mean, it's unbelievable the things that
Same
lie beneath
animals.
If you don't get your teeth cleaned. It's really important for
exactly.
our dogs and cats, too. Do cats get their teeth cleaned, too?
They can, yes.
They can?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I can see it for dogs, but cats have such little teeny tiny mouths. It still can lie beneath.
It's amazing what the vets can do.
It is. Now, do any vets, you have 4 full-time volunteers, do you have any that come in and, full-time staff, do you have any that come in and do some volunteer hours?
We do. We have other veterinarians in the community that come in and just help out. We'll donate their time, whether it be through a vaccination clinic or doing certain surgeries, or if we have special surgeries, they'll say, I'll help you out. I'll do that for you. It's just the community is fabulous. I don't know if I told you how I got here.
No, I want this to use to tell
this is why I'm like so excited to be here with all of this. I've been in Tucson for like 22 years, but I've been traveling all over the U.S., Canada, Australia, and Mexico, either doing disaster work or shelter training.
But you and came here, and I want to know why.
But here's the thing. I literally, and Lindsay knows the story. I was in Mexico. This is the last hurricane I ever did. In Mexico with water up to my chest. And I had my cell phone up high, and it rang, and I'm like, hello? And it was Amy Eads, the president of the Humane Society, and she said, I'd like to talk to you about a job. And I'm like, can I call you right back?
I'm really busy right now.
So I did, and I had followed this organization for about 10 years because I had seen what they've done and the different
programs.
Our Humane
Society of Southern Arizona?
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona.
That's really wonderful
to
know.
Do you know the national organization or the other organizations across the nation have actually looked to the Humane Society of Southern Arizona for some of the programs that they've implemented here, like our Animal Cruelty Task Force, for instance, is one of the ones that people looked at and went, wow, you know, our thrift store, or excuse me, our posh stores that we have. So when I knew of all the programs and the wonderful board that they have here and the staff and thought, wow, what they've done already and what they can continue to do is going to be unbelievable.
And it's so it was posh, easier. P-A-W-S-H, isn't which I think cute? Is one of the most clever things I ever heard of in my life.
Yes.
So she got you. How did she know about you?
We actually met, well, the big van that he was talking about that he adopted his cat out of, I actually worked
Terry
for PetSmart
D.
Charities, and we donated the funding to get the van. So,
so
that's
you
how
knew.
We met when I came down to deliver the check and had followed them ever since.
Oh my gosh, that's really a great story. And it's so nice to hear stuff about Tucson. I think Tucson is one of the most giving communities ever, ever. And when there's anything that goes on, I'm a part of a couple of charitable organizations. And people are willing to not just write checks, but they're giving of their time. You know, I'm in Rotary, and there's always something being asked of us. And different ones of us do different things that touch our hearts. But, you know, today the whole discussion was about ending polio. And we had a presentation from one of our Rotarians that went to Africa and did polio vaccination for a couple of weeks. She said it was the hottest I've ever been in my whole entire life. She goes, I literally thought I was going to die from the heat. Now, there's another program that you talk about, and I know I have it in my notes here, but Lindsay, you told me about it, and it's like, you know, I think of Second City TV, but isn't there some type of, it's second, I don't know, we'll have to come and find what it is. But
our
I know,
SAFER program?
Yes.
Oh,
what
yes.
is that? See, I really
something
messed
like
up.
That. I'll let you keep
so
guessing.
What
if
is?
You like.
Yeah, no. Rescue me.
Okay, I'll microchip you first.
Yes, and I need that. Really, so, James will be happy.
Okay. So our SAFER program, we're really excited to be able to bring
yes,
this to
that's
Tucson.
It. That's
yeah,
it.
SAFER was developed by Dr. Emily Weiss, who's a national. She works at the ASPCA. She's got her doctorate and stuff that I don't even know about. So
you have your PhD in going to disasters.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Yeah.
So anyways, they developed this program to do assessments on dogs to determine the probability of a bite by doing things like starting with light touch to, different
You're
touches.
Kidding.
You can, if you can learn to read a dog's language through their eyes, their ears, their body language, their tail, you can tell the response or if they're ready to or could potentially bite. So this assessment, and I'm making it short here, lasts maybe 8 to 12 minutes. We can go through. We can tell if there's food aggression, toy aggression.
You are kidding me.
That way we can go back and say, you know, here are the different things that we noticed with this animal. And it's with dogs, canine dogs,
right,
older.
Right.
Might not be the best dog for a family with small children.
That's going to pull on its ears or sit on it.
Could be great for an older couple. So we can. The more information we can give to a family, because animals are a lifelong commitment. So the more information we can give them, the better off that animal and that family are going to be in the long run. And this SAFER assessment, there's only there are 40 certified assessors in the United States, and we have 7 of them.
You're kidding
me. We rock. HSSA, Humane Society of Southern Arizona, has 7 certified assessors.
And so do you do that when an animal is, like if a family comes in and they say, we would like this animal, do you do the assessment then, or do you assess the animals first? How does it work?
What we do is we have people who bring in their animals for various reasons. Lately, it's been financial hardship.
Right. I was going to say,
which is very tough in this economy
right now. I can't afford to feed my dog and my kids.
Exactly. And the thing with that is I would hope that we're kind of a last resort and that people could think about things that they can do, such as we do hand out food on days for people if their animals are spayed or neutered, or do they have friends, or what other assistance can they get before they bring them in? Because we usually on average have around 300 to 350 animals on hand a day.
Oh, that's really a lot.
That's full. That's really a lot.
Right.
So we need to, you know, work with the animals. So what we've been doing lately is asking people if they're going to relinquish their animal to call and make an appointment, because we can spend more time with that person, giving them information they might need to be able to keep the animal in their home.
Right.
Or temporarily
house
it with a friend.
It's like what I call prevention.
I mean, it's
definitely more prevention.
So when they make their appointment, they come in, and right there what we do is we will take the animal back, do the safer assessment, and then let the people know what we've observed, what they've observed. Can we help them? Or yes, your animal, you know, is doing fine and we can do the adoption after its health check. But the SAFER is only one tool in our box to be able to look at that animal's behavior and say, you know, this is the type of family that this animal needs. This is going to be a much better fit. Exactly.
It's amazing to me. That's wonderful. So if you are listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, we are thrilled. We have in studio today, it's really the Carrie and Lindsay show. Carrie Burns, Lindsay Bruno, stay here with us. We are going to talk about how much is that doggy in the window and Christmas shopping for a pet or not. Please stay here with me. You give me something I can hold.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
Hi, this is Mrs. Green. Do you know that you can save up to $258 a year on fuel costs when you drive a VW 2011 Jetta TDI clean diesel from Chapman? And you can travel up to 609 miles per tank and reduce those ugly, sooty emissions by 90%. And remember, Chapman doesn't just sell cars. They provide you with the best ownership experience possible. Visit them at 4600 East 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan and tell them Mrs. Green sent you.
What if you had simple and easy solutions to live, work, and play green? Green Living Magazine, the premier green lifestyle magazine, brings you the latest in organic cooking, gardening, health and wellness, chef and celebrity interviews, as well as easy solutions to clean up your everyday life. Visit greenlivingaz.com for the latest in green news. Buy your subscription and view our network videos. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, and again at greenlivingaz.com.
Think all this going green is new? The U of A School of Architecture has been offering energy audits to Arizona homes and businesses for more than 20 years. Now we're expanding that program to energize the economy, creating jobs that turn audits into applied solutions, real-world education, sustainable living, and economic development in one. Does it get any better than that? The University of Arizona, a sustainable partner in Arizona's future.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And we're giving you lots to think about today. Two fabulous, informed, interesting, fun, and exciting guests, Carrie Burns, Vice President, and Lindsay Bruno, Public Relations Lead from the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. And you are teaching me so much, and therefore I'm sure lots of our listeners. And we talked about the Humane Society doing adoption, owner relinquishment, lost and found, spay and neutering. Let's talk a little bit about when you said 300 to 350 animals a day, daily, you're maxed out. Where do the animals come from?
You know, it's most people would think that they just find a stray dog or, you know,
and
it's
somebody says,
around.
Well, let's
it's
call like, the Humane Society.
Yeah, let's, you know, well, they have to bring it in. We don't, Pima Animal Care and Control actually goes out as field work. So, but 70%, two-thirds of our animals that come in are owner relinquished.
Oh, man. Oh.
Whether it's for, it could be for various reasons. You know, some of it is very honest, and some of it we've had people actually say, I'll give you my dog as a donation.
and think they're doing something really nice.
Right. So, and the amazing thing is at our organization, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we have purebred Great Danes, we have purebred Boxers, we have purebred, I mean, you name it, I think we've had it come through our facility.
Well, that's another good point. If someone wants a dog and they really want it to be a purebred, I know that you guys have them. It's, you can't just place your order, but you can be put on a waiting list.
We even have goats and chickens.
I did not know that. Goats and chickens.
Check our website, hssaz.org.
And chickens, chicken coop is one of the fastest growing hobbies in the country. There are chicken coop tours here that the food co-op does that are selling out. I know at least three people right now that are building chicken coops.
Some of the chickens get adopted faster than what the cats or dogs do. It's amazing.
That's great. And they keep on giving.
Yeah.
They
exactly.
Do. They do. You got chicken poop and eggs.
Yeah,
so,
there we go. That's a whole other topic.
We'll right. On that for another, that's for another show.
Yeah. But yeah, it's amazing because only a third are actually strays. And those are the ones we hope that we can scan them, find that microchip, call the people and say, please come get your animal and watch that happy reunification take place. The wonderful thing for me is that, and we're one of the few humane societies that can really say this, is Humane Society of Arizona has between 80 and 85%, depending on which year, live release rate.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding.
Live release rate. We do whatever we can, for the healthy, adoptable pets to truly get them adopted. Lindsay and our marketing and development staff is amazing at trying to get the word out. When we do put the word out, this is where the community has been a big help to us. When we say, we need your help, please come adopt, that means we're full. That means we really, too many are coming in. And so we need to get them out the door. But we do whatever we can. I've had how many dogs in my office, and we've all had cats and birds.
A project all the time.
It's a project. Yes, absolutely.
Because you can't say no. So then, do people that adopt them, talk about some of the fees. I mean, if someone wants to adopt a dog, do you just give them to them? Is there an expected donation? Is there a fee? I think people need to know what to expect if they come to get a dog or a cat.
Absolutely, they should know. They can always check our website. We do run specials every now and then.
I've seen that and I put that up on Facebook. We're full.
That usually means we're full. Help us out, please, whether it's $5, $10. There's research that's been shown that just because you say this animal's free does not mean that animal will be treated any differently than an animal that's been paid $300.
Right.
So we do have various fees. On average, they're around $80.
It's worth something then. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, the puppies, there's different fees, adult dogs, purebreds, kittens, cats. So they run across the board. But we could look, let's say overall average of the cats and dogs around $65, $70. So, but we always ask for a donation only because we are private. And if you don't
and
ask
you
it,
need
don't
to
survive.
Feed them and you need to clean up. And I mean, to me, the massiveness of taking care of that many critters.
We are open 7 days a week. We're open from 11 to 6, and that's to the public. So what goes on beforehand and afterhand, and even during the day in the back that no one sees, is work, and it is not easy, and it doesn't smell pretty.
I will bet that's true, and I'm not thinking I'm signing up to volunteer for that anytime soon. Maybe I could do front office work and answer the phone. I don't think
that
I would
help too.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, but God bless the people who do, and I so mean that. God bless the people who do. So two things I want to talk about, and then make sure that we have plenty of time to talk about how people can help and get in touch with you. One is, one of my favorite songs growing up was How Much Is That Doggy in the Window, the one with the waggedy tail. I know that people really do think it's cute to have a little puppy in a box at Christmas or a little kitten. What are the precautions that you'd like to share with our listeners about that and thinking it through and realizing the responsibility? It's not exactly the same as having a child, but there is a lot of responsibility that goes with it. What do you want to tell parents or, well-intentioned aunts and uncles or, that are... Just think about this, folks. And P.S., if you are going to do that, come get one at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Don't buy one from a pet hospital, pet factory. Tell us what people need to think about.
Well, I know my brother for several years has said, let's get mom a dog because she has a smaller place. He says she needs company. She's lonely. Well, I said, check with mom first. I don't know that that's a present that we
should
just put a bow on and stick under the tree.
Right.
It's a very personal decision.
What did mom say?
She said, well, when I'm ready, I'll go look.
Right.
I'm never home. I'm busy. I have fun. Right. Exactly.
I wanted a cat.
So we just encourage people to really make sure that that receiver of that gift really is committed to that animal. And lots of times people will buy a puppy or kitten for their kids, but they're the ones that have to take care of it, because obviously it's good to teach kids responsible pet care, but they really have to follow through with that. It's very important.
And it
so
can
we
be
want people
really
to come
a line item
us.
In the budget.
Right.
I mean, it
absolutely.
Can. If they get sick, they have to get their vaccinations. They have to be fed. There are added costs.
And the other thing that happens is people will have an adult pet at home, adopt a puppy or kitten, and then bring the adult pet to us because...
Oh.
Yeah. And that's a very sad
that's
situation.
That's really sad.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Or the other way it happens, I'm sure, where the new pet doesn't get along with the old pet.
Right.
So that,
right.
You know, they have to choose. So that you really have to think some things through.
And that is one thing that I'm very proud of that the organization does is, let's say you come in and you want to adopt a dog. We say, please bring your family in and bring your other dogs with you, because we want to make sure the family unit gets along and we're not going to have one or all of them turned back in at some point.
That's great.
So we require
that's really
that everyone
great.
Comes in, because gifting an animal, not the best thing to do at all.
Not the best thing to mm-hmm. do. So I hope people are listening to that, because it just can seem like the cutest thing in the world. And who doesn't love a puppy or a little kitten? And the thing is, they grow up. That's what Mr. Green always
just
says.
Just like babies.
They grow up and they want to be fed every day, and you have to clean up their messes. So let's talk about two things, not necessarily together. What about food? People have made, first of all, companies have made hundreds of millions of dollars on the perfect food for your dog, the advertising dollars that are spent on it. If you eat healthy foods, Carrie, and you're cooking right, can you feed your dog table scraps? I mean, I've been in houses where if you did that, they would cut your hand off. And other houses, they just let them eat off the table, so and everything in between. So what's your professional assessment of what can you feed your dog?
Well, I think back to myself, what did people do before dog food manufacturers?
Man, it is an industry extraordinaire.
It is. I wish I would have thought of it. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. So, for instance, when I first got my little dog, actually, he's a 70-pound lab mastiff, but when he was
not
3 pounds,
dog, right.
Says Chihuahua on his paperwork. Anyways, he's my grande Chihuahua. So when I first got him, he was so sick, they told me to feed him rice and boiled, you know, hamburger.
Okay.
So I had to do that for a long time. It's very bland. There are certain veterinarians that will say, my sister, the veterinarian, told her to put her dog on a green bean diet because it was overweight. So healthy foods, if they're good for us, now you always need to check, and there are various websites such as the ASPCA on what foods are appropriate for animals, because some are not, such as grapes, chocolate. There are certain things. But if you look at the dog food industry now, they read some of the ingredients of the healthier stuff. It's got corn and it's got beans and it's got fruit in it. So there are times that, of course, you can do that, but always know what you can give an animal, cat, dog, otherwise, you know, or what should be appropriate for their balance of protein and carbs, just like we as humans need to.
And it's really, I'm sure there's overpackaging, there's preservatives, there's all kinds of things that go into food that you now see manifesting in all the increase in diseases that cats and dogs have because they're eating the poison.
Yeah.
That's
dogs,
one of my,
humans, it's all across
it's
the board.
All across
that,
the board,
right.
They found a way to package it, ship it, preserve it. And I have really and truly always wondered, because we're not pet owners. We had for a short time, and I feel that's okay. I know plenty of pet owners and support the Humane Society, but it's really good to know that. And I didn't know anything about the chocolate part, which is, it would just break my heart to be a dog because I'm a certifiable chocoholic.
Yeah. No.
Okay. So if people want to help, I want to make sure we get to that. What are the different ways and what do you need the most? I know money. You'll never look a check, you know, again, gift check in the what do you call it? A gift horse in the mouth? What is that expression? Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So what do you do about, what's your number one request during this holiday season? To me, in terms of green giving, there are friends that I have that if I gave a donation to the Humane Society, instead of giving them some package thing that they don't need, they'd be thrilled. And I can think of a couple of them right now. My friend Susan has a chocolate lab named Annie, and that's her picture on her phone is Annie. So there are people, it's what I call really green, sustainable giving. So cash donations is one. Can you donate online, Lindsay? I'm sure.
You can. There's various different membership levels, in-kind donations, Guardian Angel program, estate giving. What we do have, though, is a home for the holidays where you can sponsor a pet. It's $100 for one pet or $75 for each. And it's just a great way to be able to help help that animal get adopted, but also help pay for their care. It's an excellent program
over
the holidays. It runs until January 2nd, and it's very successful for us. And we always encourage people to go on our website, and they can pick an animal, we can pick an animal for them. And so it's a great way to be able to help us care for those animals and find them a home.
Tell us what your website is.
It's www.hssaz.org. So just Google the Humane Society.
That's what I did. Yeah. That's what I did.
We even have a whole list on there of things that we need for donations, such as towels, such as various things like that, because sometimes our needs change. So our list is on there for the donations that are needed. My biggest gift, I think, would be that by the holidays, every animal in our shelter is adopted, and I get an extra day off, and Lindsay gets an extra day off. That would be my wish for
that
the holidays.
That would be a really great gift. And do you see, sadly, do you see a glut of animals coming in after the holidays? Are we hoping that maybe because this show is broadcast to so many homes, the numbers will go down a little bit? We can always hope.
I just hope that people always think. You know, your thing is make people think.
It's not
one side or the other. Think through what you're doing. Because this was a life commitment to you at some
point. It's a huge responsibility.
It is your responsibility, you know, to take care of this pet. And so look at your options. You know, people can call us if it's behavior issues, if it's questions about what about this or should I do that. That's what the Humane Society is here for, to help in this community. The community helps us. We help the community. It's a win-win. We just need to make sure that people do it the right way and think about everything thoroughly.
Right. And educate yourselves. Now, Lindsay, what about, is there a constant need for volunteers? Or are you ever in a situation where you have enough volunteers? Does that ever happen? If it did, boy, that'd be awesome.
We always need volunteers. I would love that. One of our great programs is our foster care program, which allows us to extend the walls beyond our shelters. And our foster families will take in young litters of puppies or kittens that are not old enough to be adopted yet, or they'll take in adult
animals.
That
is a lot of responsibility to take on a house full of puppies.
But the other option is to take an animal that just may need some time to rehabilitate from an illness or surgery. So there's different time commitments, longer than others. And it can be a wide range of demographics, from retirees to younger college age students who are just looking for a short-term commitment, may want a pet but just can't have one.
Is there a minimum young age at which, is there a cutoff age?
You know what, we don't usually have to worry about
because
it's always in the adult age group.
Right.
But anyway, so we are always in need of foster families. And I know some people will answer, well, I can't do that. That must be so emotionally taxing to them, be able to have to give that animal back. But the reward is so amazing for them to be able then to see that animal be put up for adoption and hear about it. And it's a wonderful program.
And see some happy family come get it, or some elderly person that it's going to be a companion for.
Absolutely.
I can see the rewards in that. Now, what about the kids that, you know, if they come in and there's not a good mix? I'm sure you have that, where the little boy or girl wants this animal and mom and dad are saying this. Do the professional staff, because I can just see that happening. No, I want this one. No, I want that one. So how do you handle that just from a psychological point of view?
I think it happens more between the husband and wife, not the kids, because the kids think they're all cute and want to take them all home.
That's right.
Basically what we do, and this is why part of the safer, like we talked about earlier, being able to know more about that animal can give them, because something will click in their minds as to what their common need is. And we try to ask them first, what kind of house do you have? Where do you live? Are you going to walk this dog? You need a high, you know. So we get, you know, answers from them to say, this would probably be your best match, and here's the reasons why. So we have wonderful staff and volunteers who can tell you most anything about the
animals. And you're the trusted professional, so I'm sure that helps in a lot of situations. I think that that would be just an incredible value. And what about the, there was something else I wanted to ask you about, and it's really important. So what else do you want to tell me? It'll come back to me, and then I'll rudely interrupt you. I know the rescue missions, I have friends that they rescue, they're a greyhound rescue home, or they're a mastiff rescue home, or a whatever, insert your favorite cute dog. Do you partner with those homes are they foster homes? Is that what they're considered?
Some are foster homes, but most are actual rescue groups. Like
rescue
greyhound.
Groups,
we had,
right.
We just had a basset, we had some beagles, we had some mastiffs, and we worked with the local rescue groups and even some that were out of state and said, he hasn't been adopted yet, it's a purebred, because you need to know these certain breeds sometimes and how to work with them. And for instance, our one last guy just got a ride up towards Utah, so all is happy.
Okay, it's fine. Are we out of time? We have 1 minute. Okay, so that's great. There we go. We're learning the new technology of Mrs. Green's world. I cannot thank you both enough for taking the time out of your busy day to come and share just a heartfelt, touching story of a really magnificent organization. And I say that from my heart. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we were privileged enough to have Carrie Burns and Lindsay Bruno from this great organization. Check them out. Google them. It's a great way to do it. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. Please check me out on Facebook and Twitter because I share the good green word about organizations like this. Happy holidays. Don't get that doggy in the window unless you've really thought it through.
Thank you. Make it
a great green day. And you guys, thanks so much for being on. I'm sure it's not going to be the last time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.